Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
There is an addition that would place up to 10-year sentences on someone who is a demonstrator who goes to a place that's cordoned off where the president may have been or may be coming. We hope that it got passed by the House only because they hadn't read it, as they didn't read the Patriot Act before it was passed.
Our guest today is Nancy Tulanian, the founding director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee in Northampton, Massachusetts. Our topic this time is a nationwide call to action for Patriot Act reform. On January 16th, former Vice President Al Gore issued a call to action to Congress and the American people. He urged that we work to ensure that all systems of checks and balances over the executive branch be strengthened so that the Constitution will be protected. Here's an excerpt of what he said.
The executive branch time and again has co-opted Congress's role. And too often Congress has been a willing accomplice in the surrender of its own power. Look, for example, at the congressional role in overseeing this massive four-year eavesdropping campaign that on its face seemed so clearly to violate the Bill of Rights. The president says he informed Congress. What he really means is that he talked with the chairman and ranking member of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, and sometimes the leaders of the House and Senate. This small group in turn claims they were not given the full facts, though at least one of the committee leaders hand wrote a letter of concern to the vice president. And though I sympathize with the awkward position, the difficult position in which these men and women were placed, I cannot disagree with the Liberty Coalition when it says that Democrats as well as Republicans in the Congress must share the blame for not taking sufficient action to protest and seek to prevent what they consider a grossly unconstitutional program. Many did. Moreover, in the Congress as a whole, both House and Senate, the enhanced role of money in the re-election process, coupled with the sharply diminished role for reasoned deliberation and debate, has produced an atmosphere conducive to pervasive institutionalized corruption that some have fallen vulnerable to. The Abramoff scandal is but the tip of a giant iceberg threatening the integrity of our legislative branch of government. And it is the pitiful state of our legislative branch which primarily explains the failure of our vaunted checks and balances to prevent the dangerous overreach by the executive branch now threatening a radical transformation of the American system. I call upon members of Congress in both parties to uphold your oath of office and defend the Constitution. Stop going along to get along. Start acting like the independent and co-equal branch of American government that you are supposed to be under the Constitution of our country. But there is yet another player. There is yet another constitutional player whose pulse must also be taken and whose role must be examined in order to understand the dangerous imbalance that has accompanied these efforts by the executive branch to dominate our constitutional system. We, the people, collectively are still the key to the survival of America's democracy. We must examine ourselves. We, as Lincoln put it, even we here, must examine our own role as citizens in allowing and not preventing the shocking decay and hollowing out and degradation of American democracy. It is time to stand up for the American system that we know and love. It is time to breathe new life back into America's democracy. Thomas Jefferson said, an informed citizenry is the only true repository of the public will. America's based on the belief that we can govern ourselves and exercise the power of self-government.
Al Gore accused George Bush of, quote, breaking the law repeatedly and insistently with his domestic spy program, and he called on Attorney General Gonzalez to appoint a special prosecutor. Another former presidential candidate, Democrat John Kerry, agreed with Al Gore's remarks, saying the use of the NSA without obtaining authorization from the FISA court would be a clear violation of the law. The head of the Senate, Republican Arlen Specter, is also in the process of organizing an investigation into Bush's domestic spy program. He has said he cannot understand what would have prevented Bush from turning to the FISA courts for approval. When asked what the remedy would be if it turned out that Bush did violate the law, Specter said impeachment. Such statements are sure to strengthen the cause of civil liberties groups like the ACLU and Bill of Rights Defense Committee at a key time on Capitol Hill. Activist and writer Nancy Tulanian is one of a diverse group of Americans who recognized the constitutional crisis created by the Patriot Act early on. She and others in Northampton began to immediately convert their local successes with the Bill of Rights Defense Committee into a national program to take on Patriot Act reform. Nancy Tulanian, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, Dory.
You know, a lot of people heard the call from former Vice President Al Gore as a new statement, a new sentiment. But in fact, you could see his speech on January 16th, Martin Luther King Day, as a response, too. He's responding to groups like yours that have been pleading for attention to these issues for so long. How does that make you feel? Does that vindicate your efforts? Does that strengthen your resolve?
Well, I think that a true leader follows the people. Our goal was always to have a bottom-up grassroots democratic movement, which I think was needed at the time, that people could start in their communities educating themselves about what their country was doing to their rights and call upon their members of Congress, making the strongest possible statement they could, such as a whole community banding together and getting a resolution passed saying that our community will not stand for this, that the constitutional rights of our citizens and residents must be protected, and then having that filter up through their congressional representatives. And finally, we've come together in enough numbers that it's being heard in Washington. And I think that it's important, so much in Washington is top down. The people are being heard, and I think that's good. But we have to keep those comments and calls coming until we prevail.
Give us an update on where things stand now with the Patriot Act and what the Bill of Rights Defense Committee is doing to further your call to ensure the rights and security of Americans.
Well, last December in Congress, the House passed a very partisan conference report to reauthorize 16 expiring provisions of the Patriot Act and to give the government even more powers than it already has to surveil and to impose death penalties, et cetera. Whereas in the Senate, there was a filibuster that prevented this conference report from coming to a vote. There was a 5-week extension that ends on February 3rd, by which time we assume the Congress is going to reauthorize using some bill that we haven't seen yet. In the meantime, people across the country that we work with are not standing still. They're talking to their legislators during this recess period. They are writing letters to the editor, et cetera, and we're planning a big call-in day with many other organizations next Wednesday, the 25th of January.
Just talk about the sort of lack of awareness that you have observed on the part of the media and the general public about what groups like yours actually do and stand for.
People across the country were amazing when we first began calling on people to educate their communities about what the Patriot Act really did or was capable of having done by the government to people in their communities, and to take action such as pass a local resolution. People got it. We have seen so much happen that was similar in our history. Clearly, whenever there are crises, the government has gone after immigrants or people who are opposed to certain government policies. And it wasn't hard for people to see that happening right after September 11th. We had huge numbers. Well, to date, 401 resolutions passed by even cities that were victims of the terrorist attacks. New York City passed a very strong resolution. So did Washington, D.C. In fact, 25 of the largest 50 cities in the country have passed resolutions, and seven states. So it's finally coming to the attention of, I think, the media, and Congress is waking up. In fact, 10 members of Congress mentioned the resolutions in the floors of the Senate and the House when they were debating the Patriot Act reauthorization. And we are calling on people to make sure that they do the right thing in terms of reauthorization and take a look at what has the government done with its powers, ensure checks and balances, and restore the public's trust. I think that the best ammunition we have against terrorist attacks is to make people feel that they can trust their government with information that may point to terrorists. If people are mistrustful, then they're being silenced.
On your website, there are some descriptions of what your group has learned about the Patriot Act. Let's go into some of that and give listeners an idea of what kinds of things they can ask about or try to learn about as we look at this important month where the Patriot Act is again being considered in Congress.
Well, the concerns about the sections that are subject to expire on February 3rd are primarily surveillance sections, and they provide a new ability for the FBI to conduct investigations without going through a court that really provides oversight. They go through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which basically just relies on the FBI saying that these records from a business, from a library, from a doctor's office, whatever, are needed for an ongoing investigation. There's no connection necessary between the record sought and somebody who's assumed to be a terrorist. And of course, as I'm sure people have heard with the National Security Agency wiretaps, there's absolutely no checks and balances involved. So fishing expeditions are likely, and privacy is a concern. That's one of the things that I think people have been most concerned about. Where are the checks and balances? Where's the connection to what's going on in terms of terrorism? It's a waste of resources is one way to look at it. It's causing people who should be looking after our safety to waste their time going after people who have nothing to do with terrorism.
Let's talk about a few of the things that your group has learned, because I know on your website it talks about an FBI report that shows the organization conducted clandestine surveillance on U.S. residents for as long as a year and a half without proper paperwork or oversight. And then also your group learned that the Department of Justice has been using 30,000 national security letters a year to gain access to many thousands and possibly millions of hotel, car rental, phone, bank, and other records on ordinary Americans.
Well, the national security letters that you mentioned, the 30,000 a year, that was uncovered in the Washington Post after Congress had thoroughly, supposedly, had hearings about how the Patriot Act was working and whether there were any problems. The same with the problems with the FBI conducting surveillance without proper oversight, continuing to surveil individuals and wiretap after it was determined that they shouldn't be. That was uncovered by a watchdog agency called the Electronic Privacy Information Center, or EPIC. So the hearings that Congress conducted didn't do anything to protect our rights and to reveal serious problems with what the government was doing, spying on people who had no connection with terrorism. So this is This has been a major concern. In fact, the House and Senate Judiciary Committees asked the head of the FBI, Mr. Mueller, whether there were any abuses that they should know about, and he said no, he didn't know of any. So these were really show hearings that were just to reassure the people that they were that Congress was doing its thing. Meanwhile, the story comes out afterwards about the national security letters, 30,000 of them a year, which, of course, the Justice Department says is not the right number, but the right number is classified, so we don't know what the right number is. And Congress simply said, oh, we're shocked that they've been used so many times, we had no idea, but now it's time for people to do something about it. Of course, we have no way of knowing who the people are who have been subject to these, because everything the government has been doing is secret, and there should be less secrecy, there should be more oversight by courts and by Congress, and that is what we have been calling for all along, so that we don't have fishing expeditions of people who are considered enemies of the Bush administration because they're protesting a war or are doing something else that President Bush doesn't want them to be doing.
Let's just talk about what this actually means in terms of a president who has used a lot of money to win elections, who has incorporated a lot of unusual people and tactics into winning elections, and who now has the ability to secretly surveil organizations that might work politically to have another candidate put in office, right?
That is certainly possible. There was a story in yesterday's New York Times about the FBI actually resisting these National Security Administration wiretaps because they had to check them all out, and they say it was not a limited program, that there were thousands of these numbers that they had to check out, which turned out to be nothing, and so it was really a waste of their time. It took their attention away from things that would have been more productive for them to follow.
We're talking with Nancy Tulanian, director and founder of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee in Northampton, Massachusetts. Her organization keeps an active web page filled with important documents, legal issues, and ongoing congressional developments at www.bordc.org. Those wishing to cite facts on the Patriot Act will find a copy of the January 9, 2006 letter sent to congressional leaders and the head of the FISA court, Judge Colleen Kolar-Cotelli. That letter outlined the confines of the act that brought the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court into being and legal changes made since that affect how matters like surveillance are to be handled. The letter clarified the laws, critiqued Bush administration interpretations of presidential powers and the Patriot Act, and it was signed by numerous well-known legal experts, as well as William Sessions, the former head of the FBI. I asked Nancy Tulanian to talk about the importance of this letter.
This letter was written by 13 or 14 constitutional experts, presidents of law schools, and members of former administrations, including intelligence. And it is calling on Congress to look into the legality of the wiretaps. They saw absolutely no legal justification despite claims by the Bush administration. And one of, I think, the key points was that the argument was that the authorization to use force gave the power to the president to do this wiretapping. Well, specifically, Congress did not give that power in the authorization to use force for the war in Afghanistan. In the letter, it states, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez has admitted that the administration did not seek to amend FISA, that's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, to authorize the NSI's spying program because it was advised that Congress would reject such an amendment. The administration cannot argue on the one hand that Congress authorized the NSA program in the authorization to use military force and at the same time that it did not ask Congress for such authorization because it feared Congress would say no.
Now, this brings Attorney General Gonzalez right into the picture, too, doesn't it? And there have been questions raised about his defense of the Patriot Act in testimony before Congress. Do you think that will become an issue again?
Well, this particular section doesn't relate directly to the Patriot Act. I understand that in his testimony, he is only going to talk about the authorization to use this unauthorized power. And he is not going to even comment on how it was used because that is classified. So it's going to be an interesting testimony. But certainly it does raise questions about the amount of oversight that the administration has argued against, including that the latest draft of the Patriot Act reauthorization, although it certainly expanded some of the oversight, it was not sufficiently expanded to protect our rights. And I think that this shows that the administration is seriously concerned about having oversight and skirts it at every opportunity. For example, in the Patriot Act, there was a conference report drafted and voted on in December by the House, not the Senate, that does give organizations, businesses that are asked for records on their customers, the opportunity to go to a court and ask that it be quashed. But the government, on the other hand, can use secret evidence. The only way that the business can have that request quashed is if they can prove that it was illegal. And it's pretty impossible for someone who doesn't have the cards that the other side is holding to prove that what they're doing is illegal.
Now, just pursuing your argument that the president did not want oversight, is it possible, do you think, that he didn't go to FISA judges because he felt that they would turn him down?
It's very strange because the FISA judges have turned down almost nothing. I think there have been three or four requests out of tens of thousands over the last 25 years that have been turned down. But if the request was to, say, tap all phone calls in or out of the country. I mean, I have no idea what the warrant would have said, of course, but it was not a limited program, according to members of the FBI. Then perhaps they would have raised eyebrows. And so I think we should all be thankful for the whistleblowers who are letting us know. This is the only way we seem to find things out, is if whistleblowers tell the media, who in turn tell us.
Apparently, when the Patriot Act authorized changes to FISA, the government never went to Congress to institute those changes and have Congress approve them.
Right. There are so many parts of the Patriot Act in which basically Congress gave away its rights to provide oversight, and then others where the government was supposed to provide reports to Congress that weren't provided, and none of this came out in the hearings to the extent that they were remedied to our satisfaction for the protection of the American people. This is one of the clear pieces of evidence that Congress has not done its job uncovering the shortcomings and the lack of oversight. I should mention one other frightening section in the reauthorization process story, and that is that in the conference report that has been passed by the House, but we hope will soon be dead because it certainly falls short of protecting our rights, the issue of the ability to protest is now questionable. We have heard many stories of people going to protest President Bush's appearances, being arrested or dragged out of a place where they were planning to hear the president. Even people who haven't been protesting but just were wearing a T-shirt or had a bumper sticker that opposed the war were not allowed to hear the president. Well, now, in this reauthorization bill, there is an addition that would place up to 10-year sentences on someone who is a demonstrator who goes to a place that's cordoned off where the president may have been or may be coming. And this is certainly a First Amendment problem. So I hope this does not go through. Not many people noticed it. We hope that it got passed by the House only because they hadn't read it, as they didn't read the Patriot Act before it was passed. But it definitely makes the free speech zones that are such an outrage. They call these zones where they put protesters who go to protest the president free speech zones to keep them away from the press, away from the president, and away from the public so that nobody ever sees that there are opponents to these policies. And to make that a crime, to protest the president anywhere near where he's going to be, is certainly frightening.
Now, what kinds of people should be concerned about the Patriot Act? Is it just peace activists and those who go out and protest the war in Iraq? Is it those who get involved in justice issues having to do with current events surrounding the presidential view on who is an enemy to the U.S., namely profiling of people of color in general, people of Muslim background?
All of the people you name, plus environmental activists, have been targeted. That doesn't mean that they will be the only ones targeted. So I think that even if you aren't opposed to anything the government is doing today, you should be concerned, because maybe tomorrow you will have a difference of opinion with the administration and therefore could be targeted. It's kind of the Niemöller poem, first they came for the Jews, etc. We all have to be concerned and protect the rights of those who speak out, whether it's us or whether it's our neighbors, because this is what makes our country strong, and we need to keep it strong.
Nancy Tulanian, thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your ongoing efforts on our behalf. Any final thoughts on what you'd like people to be doing? I know you're in the Northampton, Massachusetts area. Do you have counterparts throughout the country working on this too?
We have constituent groups across the country in almost every state. There are lists on our website, so if people are interested in getting involved with a local community group, please go to our website, bordc.org, and look up your state and gather with your neighbors in meetings in living rooms, in town halls, in libraries across the country. People are talking about these issues and making effective public statements.
Nancy Tulanian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dori.
Nancy Tulanian of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, BORDC.org. Her group is gearing up for a National Patriot Act call-in day, Wednesday, January 25th. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. TalkNation.org for transcripts and discussion. This program was produced at community radio station WHUS in Storrs, Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live, Wednesdays at 5 p.m.